this Torah that we're learning is not from this Sadra, which the Rebbe doesn't really on the parasha. It's, you know, it's hard, it's not predictable, but he doesn't have on parashas Nasite. And this Inyan is something which it's connected to all the parashas of Bamidbar, and it's a very, very powerful and basic explanation of what happened with the Meraglim, what happened with the spies, the Chet Meraglim. But it touches upon, like all Chassidish Torahs, it's not teaching us the Pshat Nechumash. They left over to the Ramban, to the Sfarno of Nez and Rashi and so on. But it's trying to tell us, how is it negated to us nowadays? How does it apply to us these days? So the Rebbe writes on the Pasuk, Shlach Lecha, Hashem tells Moshe Rabbeinu to send spies to Eretz Yisrael. Shlach Lecha. The Kasha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Lehei Nichalei B'Shlichas HaMeraglim K'mavur B'Mishnah Torah. We know clearly from Chumash, Hashem was not happy. Hashem was not pleased with this request to send the spies to go see the land. V'im Kain, Hayech Shayach Tzivu Yish HaKadosh Baruch Hu Tzivu L'Shleich. Nevertheless, the parasha begins with Shlach Lecha. Even though Rashi says, of course, L'daitecha, you know, Lecha means it's according to your desire and your will. Nevertheless, the simple pshat and chumash is Shlach Lecha. Without the Chazal, without Rashi, we would say Shlach Lecha means it's in the lashon of tzivui, it's in the tone of a commandment, in the grammatical form of a commandment, and Hashem is telling Moshe Rabbeinu, send spies to Eretz Yisrael. So the question is, why? At best, he could have said that Hashem was not preventing Moshe Rabbeinu from sending. That's what he could have said. He wasn't going to get in the way of this. Yeah. So there also, the question of is that in response to their? That's why it says Ramatim. You will say Asim Olai Melech. That you're asking for a king. So the Baruch Shalom says, if you want, you know, I'm not going to get in the way. Right? And that's how the Abarbanel learns it, and other Mepharshim, there are those that learn it, it's a mitzvah same deraisa. So here, the simple meaning of Shlach Lecha is send. So the question is, how could it be that there's a commandment on the part of Hashem to send spies when he himself, Kivyachal, was certainly not pleased with that decision to want spies? So the Devar Chaim says a very profound thing, and it's a concept that we've discussed before, but the way that he explains it is really a chiddush. Even though leaving Mitzrayim, our leaving Egypt, was in a way that was completely supernatural, it was below derech hateva, it was not the natural thing. Nevertheless, as we see that Hashem, we see Hashem's will is that even when we are involved in something which is miraculous, nevertheless Hashem wants us to go about the natural preparations to get ready for that event. Therefore,
most of the things work. They have to walk.
So most of the things were derech hateva. So the Devar Chaim brings an example here. Kapirish Rashi is ala pasuk v'chamushim yotzu bnei Yisrael mezuyanim. Rashi brings from Chazal that says that when the simple meaning of the word. When we left Egypt, it says chamushim, but the simple meaning is armed, that we were armed, that we took whatever weapons we could. Mizuyonim. Hagam shalei b'cherub b'chanes yeshia Hashem. Even though the Navi says, of course, the victory of the Jewish people does not depend upon swords and spears, does not depend upon it. Nevertheless, mikomakam oisim pulik tzas aderech anhagas hateva. Hashem always demands that we make an effort, that we make ishtadlis, that we engage in what would be the expected, albeit the minimal, but expected involvement of a human being, and then when we make that ishtadlis, then Hashem will help us. Same thing, jumping into the water. The ocean wouldn't split until Nachshon Ben Aminadav went forward. So over here, Hashem told Bnei Israel to leave armed. It was chamushim al bnei, so they went and they were armed. Even though, of course, the Yeshua, their victory did not depend upon swords and spears, still, that is the expectation that a person makes ktsas al derech hanhagas ha-teva. He makes some effort, some ishtadlus, in a natural way. Rula says roshim pula, so that there would be an imprint, there would be a roshim of man's efforts, since the rule of all of existence is bisarusa de sata talia milsa, which means that one must make an awakening, an arousal, an effort from below in order to bring about a great awakening from above. And as we see, and the Ramban and the Ran explains this, this is brought down in the note, that the Nevi'im, that in order for the Navi, in order for the Navi to experience that prophetic vision, he would engage in certain physical acts to prepare, whether it meant Nagina, music, or other acts to begin to do something to make yishtadlus, so that they would be worthy to receive the prophetic inspiration. So too the Divrei Chaim says, v'hinei be'emes kein Yeshua shalach meraglam. L'maisa, of course, all the mafarshim are discussing this. The haftorah of Parshas Shlach is Yeshua sending the spies, and there Hashem wasn't upset at all. There wasn't a problem at all. The Moshe Rabbeinu all of the Shalom shalach l'ragel Yazar, and it says it later on in Bamidbar, the Moshe Rabbeinu also used spies. So why is it that over here there's a problem? Apparently there's nothing wrong with making that effort. So he said, because in those cases, Hakal Hulasas Rashim Pula, certainly the normal way that one would go about conquering a land would be to send ahead some people to take a look. And that would not mean necessarily that you don't believe in Hashem's redemption. The same way when the Jews left with swords and with spears, they left Mitzrayim, Egypt, armed, that didn't mean that they didn't believe in God's promise. So the Rebbe explains, V'chein be'emes, ilo kilkalo hayini shiloch maglan pula v'achonu l'bias haaretz. Had something not gone wrong, had this not failed, in fact this would have been a perfectly proper and fitting preparation, an indication of man's efforts to move ahead and to bring about the revelation of Hashem's promise, and we would have come to Eretz Yisrael in a very, very becovetic and a very dignified way.
It only failed because of what they said about the land, right?
Let's see a little bit further. What we see in Chumash is that they completely lost faith and gave up hope entirely. Their job was to make Yishtadlis. Like you and I, we go to work, our job is to make Yishtadlis. That's it. Their job is to make Yishtadlis. But let's say you go for an interview, you go for an interview, and it doesn't work. You have to make Yishtadlis to go to an interview. Whenever I've had this, like a student will say, if the person wants me to have a panos, it'll work out. So I say, does that mean you're not going for the interview? As if they're going to come to Forest Hills or someplace, Cugan Hills, to speak to him. So I said, you go for the interview, and don't be such a big knacker, since you're lazy, you don't want to get a job. Go for the interview, and you do the best you can. If they don't accept you, then you don't make yourself crazy. Your job is to prepare. Your job is to put on a nice suit, to go, to make a nice presentation, to do the best you can. If that doesn't work out, then you don't fall to pieces. That's your status. What are you going to do? How it works out, what happens in the end, is up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You see these ball players, the guy strikes out and he goes, he breaks his fist on the water cooler, can't play for 6 months. Like, these guys, it's just, the ishtadlus has to be a minimal ishtadlus. And this is all explained in the Kisvei Ari, that there was nothing in essence wrong. There was nothing essentially wrong with the idea of sending spies as a means of making an effort, but not to depend and to rely upon. That's the difference. We do that with work all the time, right? And therefore, if work doesn't work out, if something doesn't work out at a job, so we fall to pieces, because it wasn't just a little bit of ishtadlus, we were depending and relying upon it. Therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave man the choice. That certainly the proper way, and Hashem did command, it was up to man what to do with that commandment of Hashem. But the commandment was to go to send spies, just as we see with Yahushua. And even Moshe Rabbeinu, there's nothing wrong with that. That's the same commandment that you and I have to go to work and to not to sit back, but to make an effort, to make a status that we should be worthy for Hashem's blessings. Hashem knew that this was not, that they went about doing this in a way that was with a heart, an impure heart. It was not with the right intention. It was with doubts, it was with skepticism and so on. They had the opportunity to do it right, or they could batch it up. That's free choice. I think this is very good pshat in the Chumash, that the actual shlichus is a dvar mitzvah. Just like there's a dvar mitzvah, sheshes yom tavod, there's a dvar mitzvah for us to make ishtadlus, to take care of our families, and to do what we have to do, and to be able to bring food home. That's our ishtadlus, and that's something Hashem tells us to do. Now if you go and you rob the bank, and they take you away, and you say, Rebbe, my ishtadlus is my ishtadlus. I was just doing what the Baruch Hashem told me, I was working. She said, listen, you are commanded to make a hishtadlis, to make an effort. You chose to make a hishtadlis that involves robbing a bank. For that, you have to be punished. Your hishtadlis was the wrong hishtadlis, but the idea of hishtadlis is fine. The robber wanted to put some food on his family, to get some food for his family, to buy a couple of things. That's good. But the fact that he took somebody else's money, that's bad. So the actual mitzvah of the meraglim to go forward, that's fine, that's good, that's positive, that's established, that's the way we're supposed to work in this world. But what happened was man's bechira that we botched up. Zeh peyush apazik, he says now, he begins to, this you find very often in the Rechaim, where everything is going very smoothly and it's going very, and it's very simple. Now you see that he's all of a sudden switches gears. And we start to go into a concept that in the paragraph after this is a little bit not for us, so I'm not going to explain it clearly, but at the end it will become clear. And then when you go back and see it, then it won't be so frightening. He says, V'zeh peyush ha-posik. V'yasur is Eretz Canaan. V'yasur, and they went to spy out the land. Haynu de'b'chinas Eretz Yisrael nikras b'chinas nekuda. In the Zohar Kodesh, Eretz Yisrael is called a point, a nekuda. I'm going to explain why, but here you have to just be a little patient. It's called a point. In other words, it's not fully developed. Eretz Yisrael is a point, it's a nekuda, that hasn't been yet fully cultivated and developed. L'ram is b'milas Kanaan. This is hinted at in the word Kanaan, where the word Kanaan is hinting to two words. Kan ani. Here there is poverty in Eretz Yisrael. Kan ani. Of course, you don't have an aleph, but it's hinting at Knani, kan ani, Knan. Well, Knan has also the letters of the word hachna'a. What does it mean, hachna'a? Subjugation. So there's something here in the word Knan, which means kan ani, to be impoverished and to be subjugated. K'maisha kosev apasik v'la yiya oid Knani oid. Ain kan ani. La'iya oid, there will no longer be an ani. The promise of the end of time is that Eretz Yisrael will be rich, there will no longer be poverty. But right now, in its state, before the Jewish people came to Eretz Yisrael, it's called Knaan. And Knaan means kan ani. There is poverty. That's why it's called a nekuda. A nekuda means a point that hasn't yet developed, it hasn't yet been cultivated. It's a point that's called poor. In comparison to the generation of the desert, that bechina, that aspect of Eretz Yisrael, he says, Lahem bechinas Eretz Yisrael bechinas ani. You understand this? I spoke about this in a shir, I think, 3 years ago. This is something which is in the Kisra Arin, Reb Tzaddik, and the Tanya. When the Jews were in the desert, life in the desert was on a much higher level than life in Eretz Yisrael. From the perspective of of the greatness of the people, that was the generation that left Egypt, saw the miracles, and it was the generation that stood by Har Sinai. And these were people who ate food that was sent to them from heaven. These were people who were surrounded by the clouds of Hashem's glory and by a fire at night and so on. Therefore, the generation of the desert viewed the prospects of Eretz Yisrael as being a spiritually impoverished life. Why? Here in the desert, it's Mechaya. You feel Hashem everywhere. I mean, you're surrounded by godliness. It surrounds you on all sides. The food that you're eating is the food that Malachim, the angels, eat. Everything is supernatural. Everything is filled with God's presence. In comparison to that, life in Eretz Yisrael, which would be a life of sowing and of and of harvesting and working and so on and building, that is a life of poverty. Of poverty. Spiritual poverty. Therefore, the generation, this is how the Arizal explains the sin of the spies. That they wanted to continue living in that way that we were living in the desert, where man would feel continuously the presence of Hashem. And the idea of going to Eretz Yisrael, where we would have to work, not just to physically work, but where it would be a place where God would be concealed, and we would have to struggle and make great hishtadlus in order to experience godliness, that is something that the Meraglim did not want. And that's explained at great length in the writings of the Ari HaKadosh. That's what he explains. To the generation of the desert of those who receive the Torah, entering Eretz Yisrael is a bechinas oni, kan oni. It's a life of poverty, of deprivation, of separation from Hashem. There's something api Kabbalah, which we're going to learn what it means on our level, that somehow by sending these people, the leaders of the people, these are not stam amcha, these are not regular Jews. Not only is this the generation that saw Maimon Har Sinai, but these are the leaders of the generation of Maimon Har Sinai. These are not regular people. So the Ari HaKadosh said that Hashem, by sending the spies, was kivyochol, giving man the opportunity to make a connection between the highest madrega, the highest level, the greatest intellect, the greatest madrega of Yiddishkeit, and that point that is called Eretz Yisrael, the lowest level, that means man's efforts to find God in the darkness of physical life. And that is the purpose of sending the greatest Jews to that place that is called the place of poverty. Which does not mean Eretz Yisrael is not the most wonderful place in the world. But it means that our role, our job in Eretz Yisrael would be to discover Hashem within physical matter. And that, for the generation of the desert, was a terrible, terrible yerida. They couldn't conceive of it. Look how difficult it is for the chevra when they're leaving schools or seminaries and yeshivas in Eretz Yisrael, and they give them 1,000 speeches they hear about, you can come back to Golis, who knows what you're going to do, you're going to mess everything up, and they come back to America, and America is evil, and so on. So, could we imagine that a billion, trillion times more, how they must have felt when they had to leave the Midbar to go into Eretz Yisrael? How they must have felt? When the man stopped falling, and the Bereshit says, go to work? What do you mean, go to work? That's right. Go to work. Get a job. What about contemplating godliness all day long? Be quiet and go to work. We'll talk about God by Menachemayev, try to figure things out in between. So that seemed to them to be a horrible yerida, a terrible descent from the highest madrega. And this, the Ari HaKadosh says, was the tachlis of sending them, to connect the highest to the lowest. Now he says something which is using some terminology we're not prepared for. I'll read through this next paragraph quickly, but I'm not going to explain it. But at the end, you will see that paragraph will also be understood. Not every word, because there's some terminology we shouldn't be discussing, but the concept will certainly be clear. There's just this paragraph. Then he goes back to talk to people like us. That's what it means to tour the land, to spy out the land. The word viasuru has in it the word yoter, which means what? Which means not mutter. Yoser means to increase, to from the word yoter, more, to make greater. So v'yasru l'zeretz Kanaan means that the Meraglim was sent to somehow reveal, to uncover the great potential of Eretz Yisrael. The name is v'yasru, make it yoser. It's not pshat in Hebrew, of course, but it's hinted at. Make Eretz Yisrael more than it is, more than it appears to be. Because to you it appears to be a trap, to take you away from me, Hashem said. But I'm telling you, via suru, that you can reveal the greatness of the land and the greatness of man's being in this world. Davke, in that place. That's what he says. Loshon ha'gdolav, loshon moisar, not mutar, moisar, which means more or extra. That's why it says to the tribe of the fathers. Each prince was sent from the tribe. Now here he says something that's again Zalpi Kabbalah Mebchinas Chachma. This is the quality of Chachma Shenikra Av. Let's just say in our level that when it says in the Torah that Hashem told them that you should send the princes from the to the tribe of the father, in Kabbalah the father means Chachma, which is the highest, which is on the highest level, Chachma. After Keser, which is not, we're not talking about the crown, that's something else, that's God's will. When we're speaking about in the life of a human being, the highest madrega that is incorporated into man's life is called Chachma. Right? That's the beginning of Chabad. Chachma, being a das, and so on. Chachma. That's called in Kabbalah of the father. Bina is called the mother, where the thought is developed, just like the fetus is developed in the mother's womb. But the initial thought, the most profound thought, the highest thought, is called the father. So the Rebbe is saying that the Rechaim is saying that the Baruch Shalom is telling them, I'm going to send from that highest level the princes of the tribes, L'matei Avosav, from the fathers, from the family of the fathers, which means from that highest level of Chachma. Mebchinas Chachma Shnikra Av. Yishlach kol nasibahem. Hayinu when the tzaytshin shebaserichim uvor be'arizal. Shemraglim nishmos mahayim mechines chachma rak nisim v'nerov mesei chachma. Shumadregis d'amid v'shem mechines abba. Chachma. V'amraglim rak nisim v'nerov mesei chachma v'neikum atzad ha'chachma ayin shom. I would just say, it says in the Kisvi'ari that the nisim were not from a level of pure chachma. They were not from a level of pure chachma, but they were from a level that was noite letzad ha'chachma, that they were inclined towards that highest level of chachma. That means that there is some possibility of descent. The highest level of chachma could be stuck in that level of chachma forever. The Nesiim, the Arizal says that they were on a level which is noite le'chachma. That means that they still could come down and talk to people. They could still deal with this world. They didn't want to. They didn't want to. They wanted to stay up there. But Hashem says, I want you to go down there. Meaning to Israel, I want you to go there. That's what it means. You see how brilliant this is. L'matei avosav, which literally means, of course, the tribe of the father. But the word matei comes to the word note, which means what? To be inclined towards, leaning towards that madrega that's called avosav, which means abba. Abba means chachma. Again, it was not pure chachma, because pure chachma cannot stand the thought of descending into the real world, into the practical world. But l'matei avosav, they were great, they were exalted men, but they had the potential. They were inclined towards this world. And that's what Hashem wanted. To send such people into Eretz Yisrael to what? To increase, to make great that point, isn't it? That point of physical life in Eretz Yisrael. There are tzaddikim that reject that. There are tzaddikim that reject that descent into this world. They don't want it and they refuse it. Their decision is to remain forever detached from this world. Hashem did not want that. Kol nasi b'hem, ha'nesim b'chokhma m'rov m'saychem, v'yodam yuchal ha'malchus b'chin yisrael yisrael l'sakin v'day l'mevin. He says this is enough for those who understand, but what he's saying here on our level means that in doing so Hashem wanted to bring about the most exalted unification between the highest level, which is chokhma, and the lowest level of this world, which is called Malchus. Where Hashem's kingdom is revealed in this world. That is the purpose of our life, to connect the beginning and the end. That's self-ma'aseh, v'machshava t'chila. To connect the highest and to bring Chachma into this world, Mamish, into this world. Once Rabbi Nachman was talking, Rabbi Nachman had a very, very remarkable deep love for Eretz Yisrael. And he went to Eretz Yisrael, and that itself was such a story. If you ever read about Rabbi Nachman's trip to Eretz Yisrael, what that was about, it was a very deep thing. But Rabbi Nachman had deep love for Eretz Yisrael, and once, and when he came back from Eretz Yisrael, he was describing to the Chassidim, he was describing the beauty of the land. He was describing, you know, Eretz Yisrael. He never even went to Yerushalayim, no, he only stayed in Akko and in Tveria and he was describing the beauty of the land. So the greatness of the land. So Rav Nosson asked him, what does Rebbe mean? What does Rebbe mean? So Rabbi Nachman said, Ech meint, I mean mamish, the stones and the hills and the trees. I was, don't think I'm talking about something Kabbalistic. We'll talk about it a different time. I'm talking about the earth. I'm talking about the land. It's so beautiful. To bring the highest madrega, the highest level, and to penetrate into the lowest level, that's the purpose of man's creation. So now the Rebbe continues for us. The Torah is eternal, and it applies to all times. That means to us as well. According to the Yisrael Makedoshim, the mind of the Jewish person, the seichel of the person, is called the Moshe of the person. Moshe Rabbeinu is called Das, intelligence. Therefore, the seichel of each and every Jew is called that Moshe Rabbeinu inside of you. That's the pachin of Moshe Rabbeinu. Yeah. Now, he says that Hashem tells the Jewish mind, which is the most exalted part of the Jew, send anashim, send human beings. What does that mean? This is an unbelievable Torah here. He says, what does it mean to send anashim? Hainu kaychaysev, your human kaychis. Lifol, to act, in what way? Lerabos kvod malchus shemayim, to make great, to reveal the glory and the honor of Hashem's Malchus, Afilub Madregas Hanimuchin, even by the lowest Madregas. That means, Hashem tells Moshe Rabbeinu in the parasha, send spies to Eretz Yisrael, which is the lowest point, to connect Chachma, the highest level, all the way down to this world Malchus. So how does that apply to us? So he says that Hashem tells, in each Jew there's a Moshe Rabbeinu, that's the highest part of who you are. Hashem says, I don't want you remaining in that place of pure intellect. Your job is to take that wisdom, to take your understanding, to take the Torah that you learn, and to send what? Anashim. Anashim means your kaiches. Your kaiches, your kaiches, to go out in the world and to do something. To do what? To be marbe kvod shemayim, to reveal Hashem's presence in this world. I feel that even by the lowest madregas, in the lowest places. Kilomi boish etzarech lo kabel ol malchus shemayim, next page. Ayidei Torah tefillah. So the Rebbe is saying, look, there's no question at all that one has to accept the yoke of heaven by learning Torah and by davening. That, of course. Rakhi ikaru, but that's not the ikar of our lives. What's the ikar? The essence of our lives is lahaitzi madregas and nemuchin kved machusiyas baruch shamay. The purpose of life, of course, learning davening, yeah, but the ultimate tachlis is to be able to extract Kvod Malchusius Baruch Shemai, the glory of Hashem's Malchus, to extract that from the lowest places, from the most base physical places and people. Ka'kol hu l'chvoida, because everything was created for Hashem's glory. V'zehu kvoidis Baruch Shafilu b'mine gashmi v'olam hazeh oivet Hashem, and that's Hashem's glory. That even in this physical world, that one should serve Him. V'kashi yisalu ani tzaitis ha-kadoshis yisgali kvayt mochusa v'nigla kvayt Hashem. And when a Jew does that, and he brings godliness into the lowest madregas, then he is able to lift up those sparks of holiness and reveal Hashem's presence. V'yisalu kol dva Hashem asher bahem bara ha-olam. V'zeh ki, why ki pi Hashem, that's the meaning of the pasuk in Navi. Ki pi Hashem diber, the mouth of Hashem has spoken. In this world, Hashem's covet, Hashem's glory is constricted, it's hidden. When Hashem's glory will be revealed, and that every single creature, everything in this world will know that it was that his koach came only from Hashem, that his existence was purely from Hashem. V'yizgal pi Hashem asher diber. Then it will be revealed at the end of time, ki pi Hashem diber. Not what we think, that I'm able to do things because I have this ability, I have this talent, I have this knowledge, I have this information, I have my strength, and so on. When Mashiach will come, it will be revealed, ki pi Hashem diber, that it was because of Hashem that you were able to do all these things. And man's responsibility in this world is to try to is to do whatever he can to reveal this even now. This what? Ki pi Hashem diber. V'zeh, that's the meaning, v'yasur es eretz Canaan, to spy out the place of Canaan. Hainu, v'yasur means to make it yoser, to make it greater, to magnify, to uplift. Hainu, sheyigadlu b'chinas ha-malchus ha-nikra eretz Canaan, to lift up that tiny point of malchus that's called Kan-oni, just like David HaMelech always called himself what? Oni v'hevyon, the impoverished one. Because David HaMelech is malchus, and malchus is eretz Yisrael. It's where Hashem's will is hidden, and man has the responsibility to reach, to go and to spy out the lower world and to make it yoser v'yoser. To make this lower world more and more, to reveal more and more of God's glory in this world, which is called Canaan. Don't think I just gave this to your ancestors when they were back in Parshas Shlach. Anino sein levnei Yisrael means even now, Hashem's teaching every Jew, I give you this responsibility. To go to the world, down to that bechina, that nakuda, that point, and to lift it up by connecting it to the highest chachma of that Moshe Rabbeinu inside of you. Yoyser v'yoyser, more and more and more. Gam yesh lemer. Shezeh merumez beposig v'nosno al tzitzis hakonav psil tachelis. Now in that parasha of Shlach, you know that the parasha concludes with tzitzis. So here he says, this is something, this is an unbelievable thing. So what's the connection between all that we're learning in Tzitzis? Because you know there's always a connection between the beginning of the parasha and the end of the parasha. Everything in the parasha is connected, but especially the beginning and the end. Because there's a rule in creation that Hashem connects beginnings with ends. Like when you're dancing in a circle. So everything's a circle. So the parasha begins with this whole inyan that we're learning, and it ends with the parasha of Tzitzis, of putting on the four of the Tzitzis on the four corners. The lechayra kaven shepshat mitzvah tzitzis ulastakel betzitzis bechal zman velirim neHashem yisbarach. The simple meaning of the mitzvah tzitzis is to always to you look at the tzitzis and you fear Hashem, you remember Hashem. Imkain haroi sheyisto tzitzis b'mokam hagavah haroi liros. Wouldn't it be more fitting and proper to do like the tztukim used to do, to take the tzitzis and hang them on a wall? If it was a question of seeing the tzitzis, you would think that you have to put them someplace that you would always be able to see them. Why would the tzitzis be in a place that's not so readily seen? Not at the end of the garment, unless you stretch down, unless you pick up your jacket and then take a look, you're not going to see it. So we should have put them in a place to, so you always remember Hashem. Because a Jew has to know that the whole point of this world is to remember God in the low places, is to remember God even in those low places, even the tzitzis that are dragging down and reaching down towards the earth. You have to look even at that which is physical, at the lowest point, at that nekuda, and to refine and to lift up. And this is the purpose of man's coming to this world, to change that which is bitter into which is sweet, and the darkness into light. Not that the tzitzis should be standing by the sunlight, not that the tzitzis should be high up above or hanging from a sefer Torah. The tachlis is the tzitzis that are dragging on the ground, dafke, and those lowest, the lowest madregas, all the mekaymas and the muchim. That's the meaning of changing that which is bitter into that which is sweet, and the darkness into light. To separate the good from the evil, and to refine, to purify the physicality of one's life into what? To serving Hashem. The Gemara says, to serve Hashem with both hearts, with the Yetzer HaTov and your Yetzer HaRa. Next column. Now the Rebbe is explaining why did Hashem give this to us to put on our garments, that since it's to be worn by the garments. Because he says that we know that the nefesh ha'odam ha'sichli melubish belavush chomi ha'gufani, that the physical body is called a garment of the soul. This body is called the levush, the garment of the soul. Ach iav shalinosei seichli ruchoni al chomer gashmi. But the problem is that once the soul is enclosed in this physical world, one gets stuck in physical matter. And how does one take physical matter and lift it back up to its source? Now, the neshama is trapped in the garment of the body. So what does one do? Therefore, Hashem created something that's in between these two levels, in between the spiritual, the purely spiritual, the neshama, and the purely physical, the body, the physical encasement. There's something in between. Because only if you have something in between is there a possibility of traveling back and forth. If there's no road, if there's no connection in between, then you're not going to be able to travel from the body to the soul. So what's that? He says, V'zeh nikra tzelem odom. This is called the image of man, or God's image. That is the crossroads. That's that point where they cross those two worlds. Usually the word levush, often in Tanakh, the word levush means something which is spiritual. As we find the Chazal use, that we say by Slichas, that Hashem is mislabish b'chassidus. That Hashem encloses himself with goodness. He says like this: for a garment, we have two basic words in Hebrew. One is a levush, malbush, and one is a beged. Levush, the Rebbe says, usually implies something spiritual. And you look through all of Tanakh, you'll see that it's a more delicate spiritual term. You can go through every passage where you see the word levush, where it speaks about Hashem. Where Hashem is and clothing the heavens, always the word is levush, like in Baruch Nafshi. But there's another word for clothing that's called beged. Beged is from the word begida, which means what? Treachery, treason. Means treason. He says that's referring to the body. The word levush is usually referring to the spiritual aspect, to something spiritual. The word beged is usually referring to that which is purely physical, begida, which means treason, to fight. Well, it says, therefore the Holy Torah has warned that you shall make tzitzis at the edge of your begodim. In other words, in that part of your life where you feel like being a bogeid, where you think that you can rebel against God, where you don't feel God's presence, where you feel that there's an existence that stands in opposition to holiness. The spies did not want to go to that place. They didn't want to go down to the ground with the tzitzis. The Rebbe says, think about the kanfei habegadim. Also, think about the edge of a beged. If you continue to descend without remembering where you come from, you can end up in Gehenim, in hell. That's all. Think of what the end is of all of this life, of a person who indulges only in what? In begodim. In treason. In rebelling against God, the end of that person, God forbid, is bitter, is terribly bitter. V'ayid Yosef, you know this, if you listen to your beged, you're in big trouble. V'ayid Yosef, v'nosno al tzitzis hakonaf psil techeles. So now Hashem says, I'm going to give you an eitzah, what you should do. I want you to place on the edge of the beged, that which that dangerous spot, I want you to place on the edge of the beged a blue string, a blue thread. White tchelis, everybody knows. The Gemara says, "Hainu tchelis d'ameliyam," that color that resembles the ocean, and that reminds you of what? Of the sky, which reminds you of the throne of Hashem's glory, and you remembered who you are and where you come from. And d'amelikis akovet, hainu lahatzis kol kach. And remember, the word tzitzis means from the word latzitz, which means what? Looking, seeing. See, right? What does Hashem want you to see? Hashem wants you to see when you look. And to remember where it all comes from, to remember where this is all coming from, where it's going to, instead of letting the begodim take you down to the lowest place and to forget Hashem. The tachlis of man's creation is to go down with those tzitzis and to see, to go and to see what the kisei hakavod, from the lowest place, to remember the throne of glory, the blueness of Hashem's sky and of the throne.
Yaakov Avinu says to Hakadosh Baruch Hu when he's leaving Canaan, Isn't
that beautiful?
You always have the opportunity to make it
into a lavush. Beautiful.
But if you think about it, you can't say it any other way. Because the words aren't...
Okay. You can't say lavush, livgod. Right. But there's meaning to that beged lilbosh. How do I make my... I don't want to be stuck in a beged. He could have just said, "Vanosanly beged." Well, we all know what it's for. What? There's a, what else you can do with the beged? We know that the beged is to wear. But beged lilbosh is right. It means, don't let me, God forbid, don't let my physical acquisitions turn me into a traitor. I want that it should be a lavush for my neshama. It shouldn't chalila take me away from you. That's right. So he says... to raise up the Kedusha. That's why these people were the Nasiim, the princes. The word Nasi means to raise up. From the word Nasolus, Rosh Bnei Gershon Gamheim, to lift up. Don't let yourself drag on the floor. Lift yourself up. Look and remember the throne of glory from that place on the floor. That's why, what does it say in the parasha of Tzitzis? V'loisasu achrei levavchem achrei neichem. Don't be misled. Bosa ein ado. Don't be misled by what you see with your eyes. What you see with your eyes is a miserable, coarse, physical world. Don't be misled. Don't think that's all there is. Don't fall into that beged way of thinking. He ein achrei mesasu ein daveir. All aveirs come from that way of looking at reality. Hashem says, Tzitzis. You in the lower world, lahatzitz means look. Look and see the kisa cover. Don't look and see what? Acharei nechem, to see znus, ashatam zoinim acharei, to see all these disgusting things. That's why the word chelus, which means the blue thread, is the word tachlis. Which means the purpose and goal of your life is chelus, is tachlis. Hashem wanted you to go into that world down below at the, by the fringe, by the edge of the beged, and to do what? To lift it up. V'yasur, to make it yoyser v'yoyser, more and more godliness. Al derech shomru b'zera kodesh b'paras azu al derech shukasam lal v'zeh yeshlem v'shamam ez emedrush al posik v'osu lehem hadohu d'chsiv or is there rule at tzadik v'yishar leif simcha Hashem chov v'saman sit k'dag v'terev yadu. The medrush says, the Medrash says on this pasuk of Tzitzis, the Medrash says, what? Or is the rule of Tzaddik? Hashem has planted, there's a light that's planted for the Tzaddik. Hashem chofetz amat tzidka ha Torah v'yadu. Hashem wants His righteousness to be revealed, therefore, yagdal Torah v'yadu. The Torah is glorified and becomes greater and greater. What does that mean? HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Yod HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Torah v'yadu, mitzvah, the final page. L'anchilom liYisrael lechayi olam habav lehinich dov olam shlanosn by mitzvah liYisrael yotzal lachrish lasachrish b'shor v'chamor v'chul l'zor v'chul. The Medrash explains. Hashem gave us tzitzis. Why? So the Medrash says, "Oy zorulat tzadik v'shalayv simcha." Hashem chovs matzidga toviyad. What does that mean? It means the Medrash says that Hashem has planted His light in every single thing in this world. Therefore, He's given you mitzvahs such as what? When you go out with the ox, you have to be careful not to plow together with the chamor, with the donkey. Hashem planted mitzvahs in this world, in the physical filth, in the mud. Hashem has planted mitzvahs. And he says, what? That what, when you go out to the field, you're a farmer. Don't forget God. Right? When it comes to any single thing in the world, every single thing, whatever we have to do, Hashem has planted in everything His presence. That you can't say there's no place without Him. You can't say there's anything that, anywhere where you won't find Him. You just have to look. That's the tzitzis. Where? The tachlis. With that mind of Moshe Rabbeinu to take chokhmah, to bring it down all the way down to the tachlis to see. That's what it means. Hashem chofetz l'man tzitzis. Yad b'yol Torah v'yadah. The Torah is great. The Torah is much greater than the psukim that we read. The Torah has the ability to penetrate to the lowest depths. Ha'inu shebechinas ma'itha mitzvah mikra zeruah. Zeruah, planting. The physical mitzvah is called planting. The Tanya talks about that in the Geras HaKadosh. K'meshah kosa of zeru lechem l'tztaka. Zeru zeru'a. Hayu tekev ba'alois makshevis ha-mitzvah la'asayis ha-tzadik mekavon l'tachlisa. When a tzadik wants to do a mitzvah, he thinks of the mitzvah and he thinks, what's the tachlis? Where can I go with this mitzvah? From the beginning, mamish, to the end. Who tachlis ha'or v'aboy, like the same way you plant something. When the farmer plants or zeruah, he thinks, what is this going to bring? What's the tachlis? Where is this going to lead? Hameyu ad ein seif. Lezeb cholash yifne hein bebayis vein besonne lefon of maisem. It's therefore wherever a Jew turns, in your house, out on the field, at work, wherever you are, you're surrounded by mitzvahs. Opportunities to do mitzvahs. Besodol esachrish. In the field, you have to be careful not to plow in a way that's not permitted. The bias in the house, the mezuzah reminds you. The beged tzitzis. If you really, really want to accept the Malchus Shemaim, and this is the mistake of the spies, they said the only way to be makabel Malchus Shemaim is where? Is in the desert surrounded by a cloud, eating food from heaven. That's how a Jew is supposed to be makabel Malchus Shemaim. And the Baruch Shalom said, that's not the tachlis. I'm sending spies to Israel, but you know why? I'm going to send, not by you, not you're trying to disprove the whole point of creation. You're saying that a Jew can't live in Eretz Yisrael. You're saying that a Jew can't go to work and be a Jew. You're saying that a Jew cannot be in this world. No. Dafke Yoisiv Yoisiv, the whole point is to make more, to make great my covet, revealing it from the lowest places in this world.
A Jew can't live in the desert by himself.
He has to live as part of a community, a society.
But the Rebbe says, you got to go out and do. You can't just sit with this phone.
That's right. Asher Nikri B'chinis Oni V'Tzimtzum. Kihu behestem ma'ayit. Because that point of Hashem's presence is very, very hidden. I'm sure, you know, it's very hidden for all of us at work, at different places. Where's the point of Hashem's Baruch? You know, you're sitting there talking to some guy, you know, in your office, and you're thinking, where's the Rebbeinu Shalom here? I can't imagine. Where's the Rebbeinu Shalom over here? You're hearing all crazy stuff, and how could there be Kavod Shamayim in this place? And you think there can't be anything except it's a treason, it's a begida. But you could be sure that if the Chavos Chaim of the Kedushas Levi were in that place, they wouldn't want to be in that place necessarily. Although really, really, the tzaddikim, there were tzaddikim who would infiltrate into those darkest places and lift them up. Sech la Hashem will open up for you. If you want to badly enough, Hashem will show you. You'll see it. Hashem b'chol makom mitzi kvod malchus yisbarach shmo, that in every place you will find His glory. V'afilu b'sadeh, in the field of Abayis, and in the house, v'afilu b'malbushav, and even your clothing. V'kadosh Baruch Hu magdil ha'Torah, Hashem is always increasing the glory of Torah, canal as He explained above. It's a classic presentation of one of the most basic teachings in the Torah's Habal Shammah. We should be starting to live this way, not just to learn it.